everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this very dusty desert day, huh? Man, in fact, it's so bad out there. The Pima County Air Quality Advisory has been issued. People who have breathing issues should stay inside. It's hopefully the winds will die down sometime this afternoon. My buddy John Couch, engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. And as usual, we welcome you to the program on this final day of November. Time to welcome in December tomorrow. Here we are bringing folks together on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. The Buckmaster Show live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Check out their revamped, updated website. Some great stuff on the website, and I think it would be well worth your time to take a look for perhaps do your Christmas shopping using e-commerce from Moe's. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at Moe's at moesgallery.com. With us in studio for our Monday political face-off, seated to my right, Bruce Ash, who served 16 years as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. He's also the host of a weekly program called Inside Track, which airs from 1 to 2 in the afternoon, each Saturday afternoon. Dr. Don Jorgensen with us, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how are you?
I'm great. Good to see you again, Bill.
And birthday coming up for you in a couple of days, so let me be the first to wish you happy birthday. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving? It's kind of I know we had a scaled down Thanksgiving. It seems to be what everybody was going that
we did.
Direction.
Yeah, it was my wife and I, as opposed to the usual 15 to 18 family and friends. So it was just us, although we, you know, like a lot of folks do, we spent a lot of time on Zoom with our family and get to see everyone at least that way. So that was nice. And the other thing we did, the funny thing is, I'm one of those who doesn't believe in kind of recognizing Christmas coming until after Thanksgiving. You
know, right.
Until you see Santa on the Macy's Parade.
Sure.
It doesn't count till then. But Sunday, yesterday, we put our tree up, which is, I think, the earliest we've ever done it.
And
I think
that's a lot of millions of other people.
Very much
everybody's getting into it really early.
Getting
this
into
year.
It. And the other side is because there's a lot of free time.
Uh huh. Sure.
So that happened.
Bruce, I hope you and your family had a nice Thanksgiving. Did you scale down? Normally, I know it's a huge affair for the Ash family.
Yeah. Every other year, we kind of split up. This year, our son Mike and his family were with the in-laws or the outlaws, however you want to term it. And we had a smaller one with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. But we had a second Thanksgiving on Saturday night with the kids. We had what we call Pilgrim Thanksgiving. We made lobsters and had a chowder and all kinds of New England-y kind of things and had a great time until the 4-year-old and the 1-year-old started to melt down. And they beat a hasty retreat to their house. And I understand that our grandson, as soon as he heard that he could watch 101 Dalmatians when they got home, boy, he was in fine fettle from that point on.
Well, it sounds like it was a nice family weekend then.
Yeah, it was. Very quiet and very nice.
Gentlemen, we have. I think there's something that all three of us at the table, I hope, can agree on. I really think with the economic situation, and Bruce will begin with you, we need some kind of economic stimulus package out of Washington. And I don't know if we're going to get it. What do you think, Bruce Ash?
I don't think anybody knows quite yet. I wish.
Do you think we should get it? Would you be in favor of it?
Yeah, I think there's myself and a lot of other people would be in favor of it as well. But it's getting to an agreement as to what, you know, everybody wants and coming to an agreement on that. And that's, you know, it's always the devil's in the details. I think if there is to be some sort of a storm before the vaccine becomes, you know, generally applied throughout the country, there might need to be something that happens, because we could be looking at, you know, the next 30 to 60 days as, you know, kind of a rough period of time as the virus sort of expands. So, you know, hopefully the people in Washington have their eyes on overall conditions and want to try to avoid, you know, a setback to the progress made earlier this year in the economy.
Yeah, but I think, Don, Congress is only in session one full week.
That's the concern, is that this may be the only full week they're in session, and there has been at least no public discussion of working toward an agreement. You know, the parties have been there. They kind of know where each, at least know where the Democrats' position has been. Nancy Pelosi's been pretty consistent with that, but it's been difficult getting to any agreement with Republicans, because Mitch McConnell is kind of sitting on his hands waiting for the administration to come forward, and you had Mnuchin negotiating, we'll assume in good faith, with Nancy Pelosi, but then you had Donald Trump come in and shut it down, and then the next day come and offer more funding, and the next day shut it down again. And so it's hard for the Democrats to know who to negotiate with. And given that there seems to be no framework for an agreement today, it's hard to imagine that they'll come to one. And we continue to have Americans, middle-class folks, working folks in a lot of trouble now. You have a lot of rents coming due, and the mortgage payment abatement and rent abatement has ended. You see the lines of thousands of people at food banks around the country. It's devastating, let alone the devastation to small business, particularly this time of year.
Yeah, I see a lot of food bank lines here in town. Matt has called us. Let's go right to the phone. Matt, what's your opinion? Should there be a stimulus?
Well, let me just say this with the preface that if the governor and all our leaders, you know, were sitting on a potential for a three-week shutdown, his own people have, you know, done the numbers. And if he wants to avoid that, he needs to immediately do three things. He needs to, you know, set a state mask mandate. The second thing he needs to do is he needs to issue a moratorium on evictions. And the third thing we need done is we need Congress. I mean, they cannot wait 2 weeks. I mean, that's what they're talking about. Can they get it done in 2 weeks? We need the stimulus package immediately. And they have all three of those things have to occur. Otherwise, we're going to see unbelievable suffering.
What do you think, Bruce? Is Matt being overly dramatic? Unbelievable suffering?
Well, we know Matt is not overly dramatic, so we'll start there. We're in agreement on. I'm not sure that, look, there are tons of people who are wearing face coverings, and I'm not sure that the mandatory mask wearing is necessarily something that needs to come from the governor's office. I'm not even sure it's legal. But having said that, I generally have agreement with the last two things that Matt has talked about, and I think a lot of people do.
What do you think, Don?
When Matt mentioned the governor's actions, I think, sadly, the governor squandered an opportunity in the past week or two when he took the COVID funding that was still available and put it back essentially into the general fund rather than using it as it was intended.
Why did he do that?
I can't speak to his motives other than it replenished the state budget. and yet there's funding that could have gone to small businesses and folks in real need right now as intended.
I agree.
And there is now the danger of a federal audit that may seek to recoup that money back from the state if it's determined that the governor did not use it as intended.
Mm. And I think what I think may happen, and it's already starting to come from some states in the Midwest and in the East, state governments have decided they're going to have their own form of stimulus as well. And I think it would be very smart for the governor to again renew eviction restrictions as well as foreclosure restrictions that exist. And I would actually also now, this is, you know, painful to me as a commercial real estate operator, I probably would extend that also to commercial leases as well, because I think that, you know, there are some issues. Although, having said that, I think any of us who've been in a restaurant or have driven past or walked past a restaurant are absolutely flabbergasted by the amount of takeout business, you know, to-go business and delivery business that's going on today. And the great ingenuity within the restaurant industry, at least here in Tucson, is really spectacular.
Yeah, I'm really glad they are doing so well. Mona's Danish Bakery had a great Thanksgiving, and owner and chief baker Steve wants me to thank all of the Buckmaster Show listeners who supported Mona's over the Thanksgiving holidays with the holiday pies and the rolls. We had rolls, dinner rolls, on the table, and I got on the scale this morning, and yes, that is the proof that I had.
They weren't diet rolls or diet pie?
No, maybe I had one too many of Steve's rolls, but man, they were absolutely delicious. Of course, I'm also partial to the blueberry muffin. So, yeah, gained a few pounds. There's something, Don and Bruce, that I think when the calendar, the four-day weekend, it's almost like a given that when you get on the scale the Monday after that weekend,
on Sunday,
that it could be anywhere from 2 to 4 pounds. I mean, I'm just absolutely amazed.
Yeah,
and my wife
pounds.
Said,
oh, yeah.
"My wife says, why are you amazed? Look at how you ate over the last 4 days.
I think
days.
I need to purge or something."
I mean, and you know,
the saying in my family was, "You don't eat till you're full; you eat till it hurts."
Oh,
and that was Thanksgiving.
Yes, I just ate so much of that that wonderful turkey that I think they call them heritage turkeys that are, I don't know, I guess they're happy turkeys, but from Whole Foods. Had a great, great turkey dinner. Anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Check out Mona's. They're open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30 every morning for breakfast. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. And think about Mona's now as we get ready for the Christmas season. And one of the things that, thank you, Steve, it was very generous. I brought in one of the Danish Kringles to get the Thanksgiving week off to the right start here into the studio, into the station on Tuesday. And we have a very limited staff and have since the whole COVID thing began. But that limited staff took care of the Danish Kringle with the almond paste in very short order. All right, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's, Bruce Ash, you need to get all your political paraphernalia over to Moe. You've got paraphernalia going back to you were telling me 1953. So that is the place to go for to take care of it, and it will all be beautifully framed and laid out. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience prioritizing safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And check out their website, moesgallery.com. Might be a good time to do some e-commerce. I guess everybody's doing it. Today is
Cyber Monday.
Right. In fact, that's why if your computer is running very slow right now. I think that's part of the
reason.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought about
it. No, it is. We were talking earlier. Don Jorgensen is here and Bruce Ash. Ingrid would like to, she's waited very patiently through the break. I was going to move on from something else, but as a courtesy to Ingrid, I am going to take your comment about masks. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Thank you very much. Because of the crisis that we're having right now, doctors and nurses are even dying in hospitals and bed space is running out. What, if anything, do you think is proper for an elected official to do regarding communicating with the populace as to how to handle themselves at this time? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you so much for your time.
God, what haven't they been communicating? I mean, it's like, you know, there's except for when the election was going on, there was practically nothing else in the news, it seemed, you know, besides health warnings and health restrictions and health news, you know, about the virus. I mean, normally I agree with Ingrid, but I'm not sure that she was listening to the same things the rest of us were.
Well, I think the question is what's been communicated, and that's where the confusion is. If you look at it from the national perspective, many governors give different advice, different guidance. Locally, there's different guidance. And again, it all stems from the complete lack of coordination from the White House in the very beginning to now, where there's been no set mandate or no set direction, and that's been the problem. Because folks don't stay in their own state. There aren't walls between each state. And as someone pointed out very accurately the other day, the virus doesn't move. You know, the virus doesn't travel. People travel. And that's how the virus is distributed from place to place, house to house, state to state. And it's really disconcerting when you have science that has now come out very clear that wearing a mask makes a difference. It lowers the rate of transmission, and yet we haven't had a governor, at least in this state, offer consistent guidance in terms of a mandate, and that, frankly, based on the research, would have saved lives.
You know, Don, it's hard to argue on this because you're right. The virus doesn't move, people do. But there is this very difficult and annoying thing called the United States Constitution, which we do have, and other countries don't, or at least they don't have the same sort of idea about how rights are given to people by the states, and that's what makes it difficult here. We see what happens when people in this country feel that they are being pushed upon. They push back, and they're going to do what they're going to do. I think all we can do is try to act responsibly to ourselves and to people around us. But, you know, the Constitution is one of those, you know, tricky things that, you know, it makes us different from other countries.
Well, you could say the same thing about seatbelts. You could say the same thing about red lights. There are all kinds of issues where you can institute rules and even temporary rules, hence the lockdowns that we saw early on. Again, the problem was there wasn't a consistent, strong message across the country or from this governor. And the result now is just because of that haphazard approach, we've seen the rates of infection rise and fall, and now rising astronomically in most states, including Arizona. And understandably, there is the COVID fatigue that people are experiencing. The danger now, as we talked about early, in the next 2 months, with folks not wanting to change their habits of being with family and exposing folks, and the view ahead to vaccines and vaccinations becoming available at some point, that I think also impacts folks' willingness to wear a mask or do what's necessary to lower the transmission.
Yeah, to try to hang on a couple of months, right?
Right.
I mean, we've got hope coming.
Well, there is hope coming, but let's also try to put this into some perspective. The amount of the population who has been impacted by this virus is still relatively small, especially in comparison with other health emergencies which have occurred in the past. Just because you get the virus and are positive in a test doesn't even mean that you have symptoms. And the people who are most notably affected by this are probably us three and John, who's across the glass from us. But everybody under the age of 60 has had relatively nominal kind of lethality from this.
Plus, most everyone.
Yeah. Well, you've got 335 million people living
sure.
in the country.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that it's not important. It doesn't mean that this isn't serious. But, you know, let's try to put this into some perspective. I think what we're attempting to do is trying to avoid, you know, really a mass casualty sort of a disaster in the many millions. And I think we are doing that. And I think with the advent of the vaccine here shortly, maybe as soon as just a couple of weeks, I think we're on our way. We're going to look back 5 years from now. I think I've said it before in this show. I know it. I've said it on my show. We're going to look back 5 years from now and say, what the hell were we thinking? All of the crazy stuff on all sides. You know, there has been COVID hysteria that is probably as dangerous to the population as a virus itself. More suicides, more spousal abuse, more crime, and so on. It's just we're living in some crazy hysterical times.
And we're going
right
to pick up on that in a few minutes with Will Humble, the former health director for the state of Arizona. It's really some interesting areas that we're going to talk with him about. What is a realistic pandemic strategy? That's going to be.
And, you know, I wish Carla Crist would come on this show,
right,
and on other shows,
mm-hmm.
and talk about this. I mean, there really is. And Will's a good guy, and he's yeah. got lots of experience. But why the heck isn't Carla Crist on
well,
these shows?
Well, that's a question. I mean, when you talk about people being upfront and communicating honestly about the plans, she's been missing in action.
I don't think she's doing interviews, which...
Well, they have the yeah. you know periodic,
but I mean
Ducey
individual
Crisp.
Interviews like
yeah. and it's wrong. I mean, you know, there are
it's
lots
wrong.
Of people who are rightfully concerned about their health and the health of the rest of their community.
Yeah,
as well as the the long-term impacts that we still don't know about. And you know, I agree with some of what you say, Bruce, but I don't think those that have lost family members, and it's over 260,000 in the country, are, you know, kind of assuaged by saying it could be worse, because it couldn't be worse for them.
I don't minimize any of those.
And,
nobody does.
And I know you, and I know you don't. But we've heard too much of that. The concern now and the challenge now is we have watched this fight against a pandemic in real time and the science being developed in real time. And I had to laugh the other day watching a show where someone asked one of the, well, it wasn't Dr. Fauci, but it was someone at that level, well, what are the long-term effects of this? You know, well, we don't know because long-term hasn't happened yet. Yeah. But we are seeing some disturbing effects with some folks, and we see it with women in particular losing hair. We've seen some of this chronic fatigue, all of these things happening.
We saw it after the Spanish flu. And
right.
Every one of these epidemics where there's lots of vascular and cardio right. kind of problems and
okay.
you know, dementia.
Which speaks
and so on.
To much of the failure and the hope that there will be a consistent strategy, because even when the vaccines come along, the flu doesn't go away.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much, Don and Bruce. Our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Will Humble is coming up next, the former Arizona State Health Director. Lots to talk with Will about. This has become sort of a monthly visit with Will. We're glad he does come on the program every month because everything's going so fast right now with the COVID-19 epidemic. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, final day of November. Hope everybody had a wonderful four-day Thanksgiving weekend. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 50 years and still growing, your destination for living holiday gifts. And get this, 25,000 poinsettias grown locally right here in Tucson. See our unique collection of Mexican folk art, holiday treasures, home decor, and more at Green Things and Zocalo Village, 3384 East River Road. Here are their websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Guests appear on our live line courtesy of Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's go now to Phoenix, Arizona, and Will Humble, the Director of Marketing and Public Relations and the Executive Director for the Arizona Public Health Association. Will is the former head of the Arizona Department of Health Services. Will, how are you today?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Good. Did you have a healthy Thanksgiving? Was it kind of a low-key affair this year?
Well, it was super low-key. It was just me and my son. He's 27. He's got Down syndrome. And he came. He has COVID-19. He still has it. So it was just me and him. And we were isolating in our house. And my wife and daughter went to Iowa to see some family there. So we just had some mashed potatoes. And somebody brought over some turkey from Safeway, I think.
Wow.
Something like that.
Well,
one to remember. He's doing fine, though, right now. No respiratory issues so far. He's had a fever for a whole week, like 101, but so far no signs of respiratory distress.
Oh, so that's great news. Well, this is our first visit with you since the election. And before we do get an update on COVID-19, as you know, Will, today is the day that actually Arizona's new marijuana measure becomes law.
Yeah, it was certified just a couple hours ago, I think.
Yeah.
So the things that kick in immediately are the provisions in the law with criminal justice reform, which we talked about this before. That was the most important part of the law for me and the reason why I supported it, even though I didn't like everything in the act. At least it got meaningful criminal justice reform into the system. So that takes effect today. So prosecutors will have to adjust, and law enforcement need to adjust what they do beginning today.
It was close. I guess you weren't surprised, though, with the passage.
No, I knew it was going to pass. I wasn't 100% sure it would pass, you know, in 2020. I knew it would pass in either 2022 or 24. I knew it was going to pass at some point. I was surprised by the margin, honestly. I thought it would be closer than it was.
Well, the old adage, the darkest hour is just before dawn, I think that applies right now with where we are nationally and here in Arizona in this battle against COVID-19. Of course, dawn and the hope is coming with the vaccine for some people, maybe in just a matter of weeks. But we're in a really dark time, right? A dark place, aren't we, right now?
No, that's a perfect analogy for what's happening in Arizona right now. Is we're December will be probably the worst month that we have since the beginning of this pandemic. A lot of people thought maybe July would have been the worst. I think December is going to be worse. because we just won't have the hospital capacity to deal with what is coming. It's not here right this second. I mean, if you get sick enough to get hospitalized or need to be hospitalized right today, you'll be fine. But I don't think that's going to be the case in 2 or 3 weeks. And as you mentioned, there's some 3 vaccines at this point on the horizon, 2 immediate, which is the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines. And the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, is having hearings this month, one on the 10th and one on the 17th, and they could very well authorize emergency use of each of those vaccines, which means they could be actually on airplanes and delivered to the various states by as early as, say, the 17th, which means that people could begin, high-risk people could begin getting vaccinated. So that's the dawn part of it. But you're right. The dark part of it is in about 2 weeks, I think.
Well, there's a couple of things here I want to follow up on that. First of all, what do we do if we're completely out of hospitalizations in that dark part in 2 weeks?
Well, that's where the what's called the crisis. Well, there's several things that will happen before that occurs. Number one, you'll start to see hospitals change their admission and discharge policies. So normally, for example, you might show up at an emergency department and they would normally put you in a general ward bed and watch you and treat you for a couple of days to make sure everything's okay. But when capacity gets super limited, they might just discharge you back from home with a prescription and hope that you do okay. Another change will be discharge procedures, where people who would normally go from, say, an intensive care bed to a general ward bed before they go home might just be sent straight home. So
wow.
Those are the kind of things that you'll start to see in the coming days, if it's not already happening. And then you have procedures that people need that will need to be delayed. So, for example, you might need a heart valve or a prostate surgery or something like that, and that will end up having to be delayed because there just won't be the hospital space for that. And then finally, we get to then the surge line will kick in, and that's where patients are moved from hospital to hospital, where catch as catch can when there's a spot that might be open in another hospital. And then finally, to get to the ultimate phase of your question, is the state moves to what's called the crisis standards of care. And what that means is that they essentially, it's called tertiary triage, but means that patients who might need an intensive care bed, but who are, say, for example, elderly and close to multi-organ system failure, they may not get treatment at all, so that they can reserve that limited resource for people that are more likely to survive. And that's basically the triage system. And ultimately, that's where it ends up.
Have we?
I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just saying this is where we're headed and how it's going to be dealt with.
Do you think it will happen? And have we ever gone to this stage in Arizona?
Yeah, briefly in July, right around the mid part of July, the state was in crisis standards of care. It wasn't widespread. I think it happened sporadically, but certainly the things I talked about before that, the discharge changes, the admission changes, the elective procedures, all of those definitely happened. Crisis standard care was authorized. It may have been used a little bit, but we could be in a December situation where it's in widespread use, and we could talk about how we got here if you want to, but we've talked about that in previous months when I've been on.
Well, let me compare this to July. Let's compare the death rate. Are we getting better at treating this and keeping people alive, Will Humble?
Yes, absolutely. So clinicians have been learning all through this pandemic about what works better and what doesn't work. And if you remember, there was experiments with drugs like hydroxychloroquine and others. And those clinical trials showed that, for example, that wasn't useful. But we do know that remdesivir can be useful in slowing the replication of the virus. There's some steroid medications that can help people in respiratory distress get higher oxygen levels. So the answer is yes. Doctors are getting much better at finding ways to treat people and both get them out of the hospital quicker, but also have a better outcome altogether. So there have been real successes when it comes to clinical treatment, nothing that you could call a cure, but things that really help people to recover more quickly are definitely in place now that weren't there in July, because we were still experimenting with a lot of things in July, and experiments are happening now too, clinical trials.
All right, well, hang on. There's obviously a ton more that I want to get into with you. Will Humble is with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Guests appear courtesy on our live line, Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll take a break right here. We'll be back with Will after this.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Yes, we will get through these very dark weeks ahead. Better times are coming in 2021. In fact, when it's all over, people are going to want to get away and travel and go to places like Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Might want to check out southwestnewmexico.org and start thinking about maybe a spring getaway over to Silver City in Grant County. Only a three-hour drive from Tucson. It's a beautiful area of the southwest portion of the Land of Enchantment, and I think you would have a great time. We send lots of folks over there. On the website, you'll find all sorts of ideas about things to do and places to stay. Will Humble is with us. Will is the former head of the Arizona Health Department. He's also currently executive director for the Arizona Public Health Association. Will, what do you think about, there was an article in the New York Times talking about a realistic pandemic strategy, and the individual was saying that it's very, very difficult to get people to make changes for the health of others. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's actually true. It is hard to get people to voluntarily change, and that's why you have to have the kinds of policies in place to ensure that people change their behavior. So we just talk about a couple examples. You can remember before the governor had previously been preventing local jurisdictions from putting in a face covering ordinance, and once he released that restriction and cities and counties put that ordinance in place, you saw people's behavior change very quickly. Once the mandate was in place, things got better. You got to have the kinds of policies in place to encourage the right kind of behavior and to punish it, the wrong kind of behavior, when you have to do that. So that's the key. You have to match what you're asking people to do with actual policies that will compel the behavior of those people that are unwilling to do it voluntarily. That's my opinion.
Well, what can realists, we keep having health officials urge the governor for a mask mandate. I think the governor says, well, we have it now that covers 90% of the people. And then there's the whole idea, how in the world would you even enforce it?
Well, I mean, most of these jurisdictions, in fact, all of them, I think, are using our individual face covering mandates. In other words, if you read the details of what the mandates are, it's everyone has their individual responsibility to wear a mask. But there's nothing in the ordinances to compel businesses to comply. I'll give you an example. Remember, we implemented the Smoke-Free Arizona Act back in 2007?
Yeah, yeah.
When somebody smokes inside of a bar or a restaurant, who gets in trouble? Not the person smoking. You get the business in trouble. The business is responsible for making sure that the people that are there are complying with the requirement. And what we need is not just a statewide face covering mandate, but a statewide mandate that focuses enforcement on businesses, not individual people. So you can focus your enforcement on, say, 20,000 establishments rather than 7.2 million people. See what I mean? You have to look at where is the leverage point to get compliance. Well, the leverage points are with businesses, and that has been a missing ingredient. And so when the governor says, well, we've got 90% of the state covered, that's 90% covered with individual mandates that are unenforceable and in parts of the state completely ignored, even if there is something in place. So you got to have something enforceable, and you got to have a mechanism so that you can go after those businesses that intentionally disregard the requirements.
Wouldn't that have made sense then to implement that in March or April? Would that have drastically changed our situation in Arizona?
It would have been a brilliant thing to do in March or April, but I will have to be fair, Bill. The evidence wasn't there in March and April.
Okay.
But by May 21st, the evidence was very clear that face coverings are the number one highest return on investment intervention that we have up until we get the vaccine. So there is no excuse for any elected official to not have completely embraced statewide face covering mandates that were enforceable after, say, May 21st, because the evidence was clear at that point. And so you have to say, to be fair, you have to hold officials accountable to the evidence that existed at the time. And that, as I said, that by June, it was very clear.
We keep hearing that these gatherings are the reason we're having the big surge in the country. Do you think there's anything, is that a fact? Do you think these gatherings are driving the surge?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. To get a clear answer to that, you'd have to have the case investigations that the county health departments have access to for, when there's cases, they do investigations and so forth. But I think it's a combination of things. Number one, for sure, we know that the virus amplifies very easily in closed indoor environments, a lot of which have alcohol, so like bars and nightclubs especially, and then restaurants that aren't following the mitigation measures. So it's those closed indoor environments that really amplify the virus most efficiently. So I would say, in my opinion, that it's those closed environments with alcohol that are ignoring mitigation as the primary reason for the amplification of the virus over the last several weeks and months. But yes, small family and moderate family gatherings and even larger parties, the likes of which we saw with college students when they first went back in August and September, those are also part of it. I don't think it's fair to blame small family gatherings for something which a much better policy in place with compliance and enforcement would have been quite effective at mitigating. So I do think it's a cop-out when I see public health officials blaming, primarily small family gatherings and Thanksgiving type things for the main reason why. It contributes, for sure. But I think a bigger piece is those commercial establishments.
All right, let's circle back in the remaining 2 minutes or so of what your health connections are telling you about how this is going to work, the rollout with the vaccine. What's your take, Will Humble?
So at the national level, there's a couple things happening this coming up. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, which is part of CDC, is meeting on Tuesday. That meeting's online. It starts at noon. I have a link to that on my blog. So that's one piece. Then the FDA will be reviewing the Pfizer vaccine on the 10th and the Moderna vaccine on the 17th. Those vaccines I expect to be given emergency use authorization, which means that the vaccine that has already been made will be on probably jets to the various states. And the county health departments in Arizona will be the places that make the decisions about where those mass vaccination clinics are and where to distribute the various vaccines when they become available. I don't think we'll see county health departments actually conducting those vaccination clinics. For the most part, I think they'll be leveraging places like community health centers, large hospital chains, and others in the very beginning. But then we're going to be having, we need to have a broader base. As we know, we need to vaccinate about 4.8 to 5 million Arizonans to get to herd immunity. And that's going to require both community-based clinical settings, but also some different types of mass vaccination clinics. I'd expect those to start rolling out in January.
Will we be getting vaccine in the arms of older people, say, in January?
Oh, perhaps even late December.
Really?
Yeah, if they live in a nursing home or assisted living center. Mm-hmm. And, well, but I think you have to actually, that may not be 100% correct, because I think the vaccine may actually go to the staff at assisted living and skilled nursing first, because that's the way the virus leaks in.
Okay, but then it would go down to, say, people over 65. That would,
correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
And healthcare workers, say IC-trained nurses, et cetera, it would be on the top of that list. And then I think you'd start seeing, starting to work down the list of people, say, people over, say, 70 years old with chronic medical conditions, and maybe everybody over 80, those kind of folks first, and then we'll press ahead. But honestly, like you said at the very top, the dawn is coming. It really is, but it's going to be a couple of dark hours before we get there.
All right, Will Humble, always a pleasure. And boy, when we talk 30 days from now, I hope we've got a lot more good news. Maybe we have some of those darker days behind us. Will, have a great holiday season. Thanks for what you do for this program. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Will Humble with us, the former state health director, who is now doing a monthly visit with us here on the Buckmaster Show. I appreciate that from Will very much. All right, that will wrap it up. Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. On behalf of John Couch, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon.